News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. Some evangelicals oppose a federal rule on international students.
Leaders of several evangelical organizations are urging the Trump administration to rescind a policy requiring international students to leave the U.S. or transfer if their colleges hold classes entirely online this fall. In a letter to the acting Secretary of Homeland Security, the leaders say the administration's policy falls short of American ideals. Among the signatories are the presidents of the National Association of Evangelicals and the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention. Citing specific biblical passages, they say the policy lacks compassion and violates tenets of their faith. I'm Walter Ratliff.
Health authorities in Florida reported 120 new deaths from the new coronavirus on Thursday, grimly marking the highest one-day jump yet amid a surge in new infections that continues to befuddle the state's attempts to contain the outbreak. The figures concern Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, but he says he doesn't regret his effort to reopen the state's economy.
We had very, very low prevalence, and particularly in the 64 counties outside of southern Florida, and we did put southern Florida on a different pathway. So I think there was really no justification to not move forward.
Tropical storm Fay has roared ashore at Atlantic City, New Jersey, and is heading north. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio says they're bracing for the storm.
We expect heavy rain today, lasting into early tomorrow. We expect some pretty heavy winds, and we need people to be ready for that and some flash flooding in certain parts of the city.
A group of citizens in Norman, Oklahoma is launching a recall petition drive to oust the city's mayor and half of its city council. The group Unite Norman is upset with the council over its decision last month to reallocate $865,000 of the police department's annual budget. On Wall Street, the Dow up by 369 points, the Nasdaq rose 69, the S&P advanced 33. More at townhall.com.
Involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Stock market have you nervous with all the massive fluctuations? With the impact of coronavirus and the upcoming election, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text the word money to 411-411 to find out how our technology can forecast market trend changes with up to 87.4% accuracy. That's right, 87.4%. Text the word money to 411-411 to get what you need to stay ahead of market trends and better protect yourself from sudden downturns. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. No more guessing when to stay or when to get out. Text money to 411-411 and we'll send you a link to our free demo. Text money to 411-411 so you can better protect your hard-earned capital with Vantage Point. Don't wait. Text the word money to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
Very few vehicles can do more than the 2020 Land Rover Discovery Sport. From conquering the world's urban to not-so-urban obstacles, no other vehicle in its class is more capable than the Discovery Sport. And with 0% interest financing currently available for up to 72 months on approved credit, now is the right time to own yours. Come see for yourself today at Jaguar Land Rover Las Vegas, 6425 Roy Horn Way, or visit us online at jlrlv.com.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
It's 3:04. This is the KMZQ News Flash. I'm Jim Dallas. State legislators are in Carson City for a special session. Their focus? Close a more than $1.2 billion budget shortfall caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. Governor Sisolak's proposed plan includes cuts of some $550 million. Day two yesterday involved more questions about Governor Sisolak's proposed budget cuts as state lawmakers continued their review with department heads about those cuts and the impact of those cuts. Well, one step forward, two steps back. As coronavirus cases continue to surge in Nevada, Governor Sisolak says bars in Washoe and Clark counties, which do not serve food, will once again have to close. The new directive takes effect tonight at midnight under the return to the Phase 1 rules on Nevada's roadmap to recovery. Bars, breweries, and other drinking establishments that don't serve food can offer curbside service. The governor says the move to step back after talks with federal officials who warned Nevada was on the brink of overwhelming its hospital systems. Nevada's OSHA office reports other Nevada's businesses showed a 66% compliance rate this week with the governor's mask mandate, a marked improvement over the 49% compliance last week.
KMCQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Come in right now for a synthetic blend oil change for just $17.95, along with a free AC inspection.
We're getting some heavy volumes right now down in Henderson on the Beltway. Some slowing there, 215 west at Green Valley, 215 eastbound at Valley Verde. Those lane restrictions continue eastern at the 215, and slow flows 15 north at Hacienda. Kevin Wall is next.
Gather around!
Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out. Step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out! Number two!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It is our brand new home, AM 670 KMZQ. Kevin Wall with you. You know what today is. Today is the day that we celebrate. We work like crazy for the first 4 days of the week to get to today, the best day of the week. We call it Friday. We'll get...
Oh, man, what day is it?
It's Friday.
Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Wall to wall. It's Friday.
Friday.
Wall to wall. It's Friday.
Come on, you got to know, it's Friday. It is Friday. Good to have you with us. Oh, thank you so much. Always feels good to start the Friday show with a Friday song. Overnight, there was a lot of breaking news, stuff that many of you may have gone to bed and not known what was going on. The Clark County School District met, and they are tentatively, and that's the best way I can put it, going to open schools on August 24th. Now, there are factors that could enter in that might cause us to change it. A more than interested observer is Victoria Seaman. She is a Las Vegas City Councilwoman, Ward 2, and she joins us. Victoria, first of all, how are you doing? I know you're keeping busy, so I appreciate your spending some time with us.
Oh, always great to be here, Kevin.
Tell me what the school board did last night, and I know they say, yeah, they really intend to open schools on the 24th of August, but they say with a caveat. Explain what that means.
Yeah, well, it was disappointing to see the school board ignore the parents and teachers because they overwhelmingly did not support this plan. And the plan is that kids are going to go back to school 2 days a week and stay home 3 days a week. And this is something that no one is supporting, and elections have consequences. I mean, it's always sad when you see elected officials ignore the will of the people and do what they want. So I'm very disappointed. There's going to be consequences. Again, parents are going to have a hard time going back to work when your kids are home 3 days a week. We are already suffering consequences from COVID now. And then you want to, you know, send the kids back to school 2 days a week.
Well, let me ask you this. The hearing yesterday that went till something like 11:20 is when they finally voted this thing in. And a lot of people, a lot of parents I've talked to today are real unhappy about this. Was there much citizen input? Did they go through the 3 minutes or the 2 minutes or the 1 minute thing where everybody gets a chance to have their say?
Well, I heard there wouldn't be any comment, so I didn't watch it. I just know what the final vote was. But what I do know is that Fox 5 did a flash poll on their Facebook page, and while those things aren't really scientific, over 6,000 people took the poll, and 82% opposed it. That's a pretty good sign that people don't want it. And it, again, it's sad to see that they're not listening to the people, that these elected officials, and people don't vote down tickets. They don't see the importance of voting for school boards. Well, folks, here's the importance of voting for school boards.
Do you understand the rationale that Jesus Jara and the Board of Trustees used in going to this so-called hybrid system, 2 days in brick-and-mortar schools, 3 days at home? Do you understand what they're trying to do, or can you understand it a little bit?
I really can't, Kevin, because once again, studies have been done that children have a hard time learning, you know, especially at a young age, through the hybrid method. Now, again, this is a time when they're in school that parents go back to work. So who's going to monitor the kids that are supposed to be online getting their education? The small children, parents will have to now stay home or hire somebody to come into their home. And the high school students, you know, they're pretty much going to have free will to do whatever they want to do. So, no, I don't understand the reasoning and the rationale, because we have not seen the kind of uptick in COVID that would warrant completely having kids stay at home 3 days a week.
So explain for me this. Distance learning, online learning, whatever you want to call the thing, what we did for a couple of months towards the end of last school year, did it work? Did our kids learn anything? What is there any way of measuring whether our kids really learned anything during that period because of the coronavirus?
Well, I've talked to a few people, Founders Academy, which is a very amazing charter school, and they had success with it, but they're a smaller school that, you know, the parents are more involved. But what the input that I've had from most people is no. But the parents were able, during when everything was shut down, they were able to stay at home and perhaps sort of navigate their way into this online learning. We're opening up. We're not going to have that same luxury of parents being able to try to navigate their kids now onto an online learning. There have been, again, many studies that have said that children need to have that in-person learning experience. I think this is a disaster. I think you're going to have more parents that don't know what to do because now they're not going to be able to go back to work. Our economy is going to continue to take a downturn. With everything that they're doing, I'm just trying to see the future of Nevada in getting everybody back to work and kids back to learning. And this is, to me, this is really taking a step backwards.
Did the district even examine an alternative, a plan B? Well, let's see. If you don't like this hybrid, well, here's plan B or plan C. Did they even take a look at that?
My understanding, Kevin, was that this was what was proposed to the school board, and this was the only plan that was being voted on. And once again, The parents don't want it. The teachers don't want it. The teachers' union isn't in support of it. And they just voted for it. So, again, what I think the message to your listeners is these small offices, which people hate to vote down tickets, are so important because you really need people that really examine the long-term consequences of doing something like this.
And are there school board members that will be up for a re-election come November?
Yes, absolutely. Trustees, regents, absolutely. And I really think folks need to take a look at and meet with some of those people running for school board, because it is imperative that you get good folks in those positions.
Do you buy the notion, and we've seen Dr. Birx and Dr. Fauci and others talk about kids going back to school, that they need to be back in a brick-and-mortar setting. Are you convinced that they're right, that the real way to learn is going to be with your butts in a seat?
Absolutely, and this is what most of the studies are saying, that we need to get our kids in a brick-and-mortar and back to school. And you know, I'm going to be very vociferous about this, and I'm hoping that somehow this changes before the kids go back to school, because once again, parents are panicking. They don't know what to do, and these folks that voted for this plan did not listen to the will of the people. And I don't know if you remember, Kevin, but a couple of years ago, we tried to break up the Clark County School District. We proposed a bill. We got it passed, and then it went into committee, and, of course, it never broke up. And I think had we done that, and we need to do it in the future, we have, like, the fifth largest school district in the nation. I think if that would have been broken up, you wouldn't see what's happening right now.
More with Victoria Seaman, Ward 2 City Councilman for Las Vegas. The governor did some major damage to at least one industry. We'll talk about what that is and how he did it. We'll do that and more coming up. I'm Kevin Wall on AM 670 KMZQ.
On air, online, or on demand, take AM 670 KMCQ with you wherever you go. Download the SimpleRadio.com app and make us your favorite today.
When you need legal expertise, you got a lot of options. Heck, just spend a few minutes watching local TV, you'll see plenty of legal help. Hey, Kevin Wall here. Look, no one ever wants to need an attorney. But when you do, it's important to hire one who knows the law. But more importantly, you need an attorney who shares your conservative values. That's why my small business, Battleborn Radio, trusts Craig Mueller to handle all our legal needs. Craig was born and raised here in Las Vegas, and he's our legal expert on Live and Local Now. Craig's been defending the Constitution for more than three decades, protecting your rights. And if you're hurt, in a car accident, or on the job, Craig Mueller will get you the money you deserve. I trust Craig Mueller with my small business. You can too. Call Craig at 702-887-1731. That's 702-887-1731. 887-1731. Or visit Craig online at CraigMuellerLawyer.com. That's CraigMuellerLawyer.com. Let's face it, these are challenging times. Hey, Kevin Wall here for SRT Special Services. Since 2014, SRT Special Services has provided Southern Nevada businesses with executive protection, safe rooms, residential security, and more. Now, in the COVID-19 era, it's important to know who's coming into your place of business. Ask the pros at SRT Special Services about the Liberty AI with facial recognition and thermal scanning. The Liberty AI can let you know if the next customer through your front door is running a temperature, protecting your employees, your customers, and your corporate liability. Facial recognition and temperature scanning technology has been out there for years. Now, the security pros at SRT Special Services can offer the Liberty AI at a price that even small mom-and-pop businesses can afford. If your business deals with the general public, you need the Liberty AI from SRT Special Services. Call 702-221-1942. That's 702-221-1942. Call today.
more lawyer, less fee.
I'm attorney Paul Powell. Have you been injured in a crash? Do you want to win your case? Do you want the insurance companies saying,
it's Paul Powell?
Of course you do. I've spent almost 20 years helping injury victims get paid, and I for sure can help you.
If you're tired of greedy lawyers, call 728-5500 or go to paulpowell.com.
I really can help.
Paul Powell. More lawyer, less fee.
Some restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm State Senator Scott Hammond. These are difficult times for all of us, a time set apart. But our Las Vegas community has always come together when we need to. We all have a part to play, and it is heartwarming to know that our community is strong enough to fight this. Many of you also have questions or concerns, which is why I have compiled as much information and resources on my website as possible. Please visit HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. That's HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. Paid for by Friends of Scott Hammond.
Have you ever felt so dizzy you could hardly stand up? You're not alone. Millions of people struggle with dizziness and experience the debilitating symptoms of vestibular dysfunction, such as vertigo, nausea, and ringing in their ears. Vestibular disorders affect people of all ages and can impact ability to work, go to school, or just perform everyday tasks like shopping and getting dressed. Because these symptoms are invisible and difficult to describe, they're often overlooked by doctors and dismissed by family and friends. But there is hope. Visit vestibular.org or call 800-837-8428. If you or someone you know has experienced a persistent sense of dizziness or lack of balance, visit vestibular.org to search for a vestibular specialist in your area. The Vestibular Disorders Association can help you discover a life rebalanced. Visit vestibular.org, that's vestibular.org, or call 800-837-8428.
You're listening to Live and Local with Kevin Wall on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
And don't forget, this hour brought to you by the SKC Group. Let the SKC Group show you and your business how an increased web presence can increase your bottom line. Call the SKC Group, 702-965-2016. That's 702-965-2016. Victoria Seaman joining us, City Councilwoman, Ward 2, in the city of Las Vegas. And if we don't go to this hybrid, and the kids stay home, what I mean, is that even a viable option at all? Is it better than the hybrid?
Is what better than the hybrid? Where they
staying home, and not reopening the schools. There are some districts around the country that are not going to be reopening their schools.
No, I think this is better because they are going to go into the classroom 2 days a week. So, you know, this is imperative for the younger children. They need to be learning at this age. It'll set them back pretty far anyway. And if they didn't go at all, I think that would be worse.
Victoria, talk to the parents in Ward 2, outside of Ward 2, across southern Nevada, in the Clark County School District, the fifth largest district in the country. And what is it they can do? We've got school openings scheduled for August 24th. Explain what it is they can do, and is timeliness going to be something that's important here? Because, I mean, August 24th isn't that far away.
Right, and I think that it is important that they continue to voice their concerns and they get a hold of every single school board member who voted on this, their emails and their phone numbers, and light them up and tell them how they feel about it. And I really believe if parents out there are disappointed in what is happening in Clark County with the largest school district, one of the largest school districts in the nation, write your legislator, find out who your assemblywoman is and your senator, and let them know, because they will go into session next year and they will absolutely be able to break up that school district the proper way, where there's more local control, and it's not just this one large district that things are happening that don't even affect your area. So I encourage parents to get politically involved on every level, on your school board level, on your city council level, but we have no say-so in the redistricting. We have really no say-so in what the school board does. But I, again, will be as vociferous as I can about it because I am as disappointed as everyone else.
I want to ask you, because you touched on it earlier, a couple of years ago, the legislature, and I believe this is when you were there, I thought we voted to break up, to deconsolidate, or whatever you want to call the word, the Clark County School District, and the best thing they could come up with is the principals have their own budgets now.
Right.
And I'm like that's it. That's what breaking up the fifth largest school district in the nation really is all about. And that's all it apparently turned out to be. Is there anything else I missed?
By the time you put it through the sausage maker, that's exactly what happened. Because, you know, of course, we in the assembly, it was David Gardner's bill, and I co-signed on his bill, that we would break it up. This was so important to us because we saw what was happening. And, you know, where we've been on the bottom of, you know, the charts in education for years. And by the time it went through the Senate, it ended up going to a committee, and by the time it came out of the interim committee, yeah, that's the best they could do. And it was such a disappointment because it was a great bill. Big credit to Assemblyman David Gardner for bringing it forth, and that's what we got. So,
wow. Wow. Speaking of the Assembly and Carson City, I've got to ask you about what the governor did last night. Not only closing down bars and, I mean, there are bars that are just going to be closing their doors at 11:59 tonight. Did the governor make the right move?
Listen, I'm not hearing what he's hearing, so I don't know what his thinking in was doing that. But what I can say is I'm always disappointed whenever a business is closed and not allowed to reopen. This is somebody's livelihood. This is somebody who's going to be able to put food on the table, pay their bills or not. So I was hoping by now we would move into phase three. We knew increased testing would bring increased positives. I mean, that's the no-brainer. So I hope this short-term setback is a short-term setback and we move back quickly and get into phase three.
Let me ask you, as far as the governor's performance, whether it's Dieter, whether it's the budget that they're wrestling with now in Carson City, whether it's the pandemic, how's this governor done?
I'm going to tell you this. When a governor decides to shut down an economy, he should have had a plan.
He should have had a plan for Dieter.
He should have had a plan for everything.
Yeah, and this governor.
And the one thing I guess I'm mostly disappointed about is that his advisory committee should have been bipartisan. We have two doctors in the Assembly and Senate, Dr. Robin Titus, Dr. Joe Hardy, great legislators, and they were not on his advisory committee. It was a partisan. And so I'm disappointed. I'm not in the governor's shoes, so I don't know all the details. But what I can say, and this goes for Dieter, this goes for everything, you're the leader. The buck stops at you, and when you decide to shut everything down, you better have a good plan for opening it up.
Well, the governor now is saying they can relook at some of these criteria for shutdown as early as July 24th. So that's just a week or so away. We'll see if anything happens. But all I know is there are people that are going to be out of work tomorrow, and they're not.
That's right.
They're not real happy with it. Everything else going on well in your world?
Everything is good as can be. We are just, you know, navigating and helping people get to, you know, what they need. I mean, we've unfortunately had thousands of calls for people that still haven't received their unemployment. Unfortunately, there's nothing we can do, but we are still there to take their calls and listen to whatever and try to navigate them to call whoever they need to call. But it's sad, Kevin. It's the emails are just heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Because people are suffering, and some people still have not received their unemployment checks.
And now the governor...